The next speaker is Mike Klonsky, Chairman of the October League.
Friends and comrades, first I'd like to thank the Guardians for the important role that they've played in bringing all of these revolutionary and progressive forces together to discuss such an important question and such a basic question as what road we have to take to the building of a new Communist Party in the U.S. I think it's become clear to us that this kind of a get-together, this kind of a forum could not have taken place without a role being played by such a force as the Guardians. The fact that this is being done in the spirit of working class unity, as it is a tribute to the growing maturity of this young communist movement today. As it deepens its ties with working people, the question of unity becomes a material necessity, and not just a question of abstract rhetoric. The degree of unity that this forum reflects is a very good sign, and we welcome it. However, we have seen attacks made on the forces that are represented here. We see that there are forces that don't welcome this get-together, aside from Nixon and the imperialists and the right-wingers. The Daily World, as was pointed out to me today, has unleashed a very timely attack on Maoism in general and on the forces of revolution all throughout the world. Members of the Communist Party USA approached me, criticized this forum, and have criticized the idea of us even talking about building a new Communist Party. I understand that they refuse to carry any advertisements for this forum in their newspaper. They say that there already is a party, that we're being divisive by talking like this, and they also throw in the charge of anti-Sovietism to boot. So I think that we should examine these charges, and we should examine who the real splitters and who the real divisive people are, and in fact who the real anti-Soviet people are. I think one thing we can see if we look around us, that the forces represented at this forum today are not a bunch of armchair revolutionaries, librarian-type revolutionaries, but rather the forces represented here, both on the speaker stand and out in the audience, represent a core of revolutionary activists, active fighters in the cause of the liberation of the Afro-American people and other minority people, working people in general, student movement, the movement for women's rights, women's equality, and the various progressive movements in this country. That these are these people represent everything healthy and rising and young in this country, and not what's old and reactionary and dying away. The question that we have to understand is why so many hundreds of these people want to come and discuss this vital question. And why they look at disdain when people tell them that there already is a Communist Party in this country. There already is a vanguard leadership of this struggle. It's not us that have alienated and driven the most of the honest and revolutionary-minded people from the ranks of the Communist Party USA. That cannot be blamed on us. We're not the ones who took the Communist Party's constitution and outlawed any discussion of revolutionary overthrow of the capitalist system in its pages. We didn't do that. We're not the ones who have abandoned the Afro-American people's struggle, especially in the South, where it's growing sharpest today and has historically. This isn't something that can be blamed on us. And we haven't stricken the words dictatorship of the proletariat from the program of Marxism-Leninism. This crime is not done by us. In the program of the Communist Party USA, the CP, revisionists tell us in their own words, and this is a quote from their program, "Of course we advocate social change by peaceful means, through political institutions and people's organizations within the American constitutional framework. This is nothing but a new rehashed version of Earl Browder's line of the early 40s. The line, as Irwin clearly articulated, the line of American exceptionalism, peaceful transition, and socialism through the ballot box. This is nothing but a rehashed version of Kautsky's theory of progressive imperialism, under which the need for revolution has disappeared, and the imperialists and the masses can work things out together through the pressure system or lobbying or electing more sensitive people to the Congress to make capitalism more sensitive to the needs of working people." In his article, "Imperialism and the Split in Socialism," V.I. Lenin shows the basis for this kind of opportunism. He explained how imperialism, through its bleeding and profiteering of the oppressed nations of the world, is able to bribe and buy off certain sections of the working class in its own country. How through these bribe leaders, it's able to poison the revolutionary movement with reformism, economism, and chauvinism. Isn't this the basis for such statements as this in the CPUSA's program? Isn't this why they attack revolutionaries here and around the world, from the United States to Cambodia? Isn't this why they fear revolution, fear that it will knock them from their comfortable positions in the ranks of the labor aristocracy and the small businesses that they have? Isn't this why they now side with Lon Nol in Cambodia? Isn't this why they encourage the crushing of the Polish workers and encourage the Indian reactionaries to invade Pakistan? This split in socialism is not just a national phenomenon, but an international one. Lenin was the first one to use the term social imperialism, social imperialist, to describe opportunists like the ones who during World War I sided with their own imperialists against the working people of the world. This is the basis for the split in the communist movement today, and we can't be blamed for this. We're not anti-Soviet. We're not against the Soviet Union. The Soviet people aren't the ones haven't risen up to enthusiastically defend the policies of Khrushchev and Brezhnev and Kosygin. They haven't enshrined these people. When we oppose their policies, we're not opposing the Soviet people. I heard a story the other day about a situation that arose recently in the Soviet Union where a new stamp was issued with Khrushchev's picture on it. And many of the people in the postal department came to talk to the head of the department. They said, "Comrade, there's a serious problem. These stamps, people all over the country have been telling us that these stamps will not stick to the letters, to the envelopes." Well, the head of the department went out and called for an investigation, and he sent everybody out into the field to find out why. Short time later, they came back and they said, "Well, we found the problem. We've solved the problem." He said, "Well, what is it?" He said, "The reason why the stamps aren't sticking to the envelopes is all the people keep spitting on the wrong side of the stamps." So we know the Soviet people are good revolutionary people, and they will take things into their hands like they've always done. We've got to expose opportunism. We've got to expose the role of the revisionists. If we don't fight the opportunists, we'll never be able to defeat imperialism. And we can't expose the opportunists, whether they be these revisionists or whether they be these Trotskyites or other opportunists. We can't oppose them just with abstract words or attacks. We can't stand on the sidelines of the mass struggle and attack them in the abstract. That's why it's so important today that this new rising communist movement is beginning to sink its roots in the mass struggles of the people, beginning to take leadership in various labor struggles and strikes, in the movement of the Afro-American people, Puerto Rican people, and other minorities, And in all the various progressive and democratic struggles today, this is essential. We cannot wait till after there's a party to do this. Well, what kind of party are we going to build? We're going to build a little clique that's isolated from the masses, that doesn't reflect the sentiments and the aspirations of the people. And the people's feelings and the people's needs are going to have to suffer until such a party is built. That's not the way we intend to do things. This is an ultra-leftist view that abandons the mass struggle today for some high ideals, idealism, some ideals about a communist party. We think that, we in the October League feel that while revisionism is the main ideological enemy that we face, it's within our own ranks, within the ranks of the communist forces, is ultra-leftism. That's the main danger. That's what we've got to guard against. It's very understandable. It's very understandable that every single split off, up until the present time, that is, from the Communist Party of the USA, as and I'm talking here about groups like the Early Provisional Organizing Committee, or POC, which broke from the party in the 50s, in the late 50s. The Progressive Labor Party, which I guess people might be more familiar with, or might be more infamous, which broke in the early 60s. You can see that every one of these failed to steer clear of ultra-leftism and ultimately degenerated into a Trotskyite little sect, dropped their Marxist-Leninist cover and became Trotskyist, if not in name and in essence. There's good reason for this. These forces are very young. The forces here are very young. They haven't got the experience. They haven't got the stabilizing effect of a mass struggle. They haven't got deep enough ties to the working people yet. And so they're very susceptible to these kind of vacillations, moving in reaction to the CPUSA towards ultra-leftist stand. That's one reason, as a reaction, overreaction to the CPUSA's rightism. People look to answers and sometimes they try to throw out everything good about the Communist Party USA from its very inception. They chuck it all out the window. See. The other, and probably a more important way to understand ultra-leftism is on the basis of a class analysis. Comrade Stalin wrote an article called Sources of Contradictions Within the Party, in which he makes a class analysis of the various forms of opportunism. He says, basically, the various forms of opportunism in the party at the time, they stem from the fact that the working class itself was not a monolith, but was divided into different strata. He said, on the one hand, one stratum, and I'm quoting now, is the main mass of the proletariat, its core, its permanent part, the mass of pure-blooded proletarians who have long broken off connection with the capitalist class. This stratum, he says, of the proletariat is the most reliable bulwark of Marxism. The second strata, says Stalin, consists of newcomers from the non-proletarian classes, from the peasantry, from the petty bourgeoisie, and from the intelligentsia. These are former members of other classes who have only recently merged with the proletariat and have brought with them into the working class their customs, their habits, their waverings, and their vacillations. This stratum constitutes the most favorable soil for all sorts of anarchist, semi-anarchist, and ultra-leftist groups. The third stratum I already mentioned, we talked about the labor aristocracy, the upper stratum of the working class, the most well-to-do portion of the proletariat, with its propensity for compromise with the bourgeoisie, its predominant inclination to adapt itself to the powers that be, and its anxiety to, quote, get on in life. This stratum constitutes the most favorable soil for outright reformists and opportunists, and we know who he's talking about here. So the question for us is, how can we fight against this ultra-leftism? Well, the main thing we think at this time is that we don't abandon the struggle to build the anti-imperialist United Front.
that we develop these close ties with the masses, that we integrate ourselves in mass struggle, and that we see these tasks on a day-to-day basis and take them up. Secondly, in our relations with other communist groups, we've got to combat the notion of that any one of these groups, or for that matter, individuals, that they're the vanguard, that they represent the true communist forces right now, and that everybody else is opportunist. We've got to unite the communist forces, and we've got to combat everything that stands in the way of this kind of unity, whether it be on the level of divisive rumor spreading and gossip, and which the man and the revisionists utilize to the best of their advantage, to an approach to unity by always putting differences first, always looking for differences as the main thing. We have to understand that in every communist party, in the Central Committee of the Chinese Communist Party, there's sharp struggle, there's ideological struggle. We've got to build principled unity, but we've got to fight for unity. And I think we ourselves are very optimistic. We've seen some very rapid steps towards unity. It's mainly come through testing the line of these various organizations in practice, because, you know, the working people, they get Marxism. It's their theory, you see. Marxism-Leninism is their ideology. It comes to them sometimes in very distorted forms, especially at this stage. But the working class itself, it has an anvil to hammer out this on and test it and shape it to fit its needs. That's its experience in production and class struggle. And it's here that the real answers to these problems will be worked out. In China, we heard about the fight against leftism there. At one point, they had a fellow named Wang Ming, who was the leader of the party for a while, and what they said of him is that he knew everything there was to know about the Soviet Union, but he didn't know a damn thing about China, about conditions in China. And that means that we have to base our theoretical understanding and our programs and our view of the national question and different theoretical questions like this based on our experience, summing them up, and not just going in a back room somewhere and typing out a program. So we're very confident that unity can be built. We've seen the spirit of unity among all the different communist organizations that are represented here today, among the people that have come. This has encouraged us a great deal. If we all stick together and take a principled stand, in a very short time we'll be able to have this communist party. It'll be a significant step for the movement throughout the world to have a communist party that's revolutionary in its character right here in the heartland of imperialism. So thank you very much, and that's all I have to say. Thank you.